to have a discussion about our segments. So typically what we do is we have an intro, and then I shoot off a question to one of the other people. Cole, what do you think?
I think that question was horrible.
Night.com. Hey there, welcome to The Horrible Show, the video game podcast for HorribleNight.com. This is the episode for Wednesday, October 6th, 2010, and I'm your host, Justin J. Devil, and tonight I'm joined by our full crew. We haven't been together in like a month, guys, so I'm probably the only one that's excited about that. But we're start out on the coasts, the one coast, Cole, out in California. What's up, Cole?
Not a whole lot. How's everybody doing?
I personally rock right now.
Rock.
Back here in the Midwest in Indianapolis, we've got Ethan. What's up, Ethan?
I'm on a coast.
Which coast is that?
Ethan Coast.
Ethan Coast. Gotcha. But what about Christina in Indy? Are you on a coast?
I'm in my car coasting as we speak.
Very nice. And tonight, we're going to be reviewing the news of September, just kicking off the month here, and by taking a look back, because we only live in the past. But we're going to go back through our normal show of our threesomes of the week, where each of us picks three different forms of media that's had our attention in the last week, move on to our on-the-spot question, just to get ramped up, then dive into our news discussion where everybody's picked a few articles that stood out to them from September. Then we'll move on to HorribleNight.com updates and get out of here with any last-minute shout-outs to the gaming industry from everybody. So let's get rolling with Coleman, your threesomes of the week.
Here I go. I've been watching Pawn Stars on Netflix. The first two seasons are on there, and that is a great show. I fall in love with those characters, and I can't wait till I start watching a new season. I don't know what season they are on actual TV, but
for clarity, all the characters on the show are men.
I'm not falling in love with them like in a sexual way, just platonically.
Okay, it's okay to be in love with Chumley.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, would you do Chumley?
No.
Okay.
What if you had to?
No. Can we start us over?
No.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, that's a great show. I recommend it to anybody if you like watching people appraise old things, which is really cool. It's a good slice of history.
Yeah, I'll second that show just from the stance that I made fun of it when I first saw it, and now it's one of my favorite shows on TV. So.
Agreed.
What else you got?
The book I've been reading currently is Open by Andre Agassi. I've been into biographies lately and thought I'd pick his up because it's been a couple months since all the hype and stuff since last year, I guess, it came out. And it's very interesting to read about his career from his perspective and how much the dude hates tennis. It's kind of, well, he hated tennis. I think the part where I'm at is like his comeback after him and Brooke Shields.
Don't call it a comeback. First.
I've been here for years. After him and Brooke Shields got divorced is when he started doing his comeback, and I think he's falling in love with tennis now at this point in the book, but all the chapters previously he's hated it, so it's been interesting to see his perspective. And
did he do meth during his comeback?
No, it was like,
or because of Brooke Shields?
He did it like right before his comeback, because that was like his rock bottom part.
Gotcha.
And he was just like all the pressure in the world, but he was married to Brooke Shields when he was doing meth.
Yeah, I understand now. Okay.
Yeah.
I fucking hate Brooke Shields.
I fucking hate crystal meth. If that's what you're going to say.
No, that's okay.
The band?
Yeah, meth, man.
Crystal Method.
Even though that no one that I've met in my recent life believes me, Cole can attest to the fact that I was addicted to tennis in high school, and yeah, Andre was my hero. He was the guy I emulated, and I just hope I don't lose all my hair and get addicted to crystal meth before I make a comeback. So.
No, but you should read the book, Justin. I think you'll like it a lot.
Read the book.
Yeah, I figured. Look at the pictures then.
Okay,
I guess.
Cool. I can do that.
And then the game I've been playing is Halo Reach. I got it pretty much as soon as I got back from vacation in Indiana and been getting my ass kicked because I'm not very good at Halo.
It's a different game, man.
It is. Like, I've been playing for the past 2 or 3 years, been playing the Call of Duties, Modern Warfare 2, and it is a lot different. But I like it a lot, and I want to get better. It's just the single-player game is kicking my ass right now.
You're still playing on Heroic?
Still on Heroic. I'm not going to give it up, I don't think.
Yeah, hang in there.
Yeah.
You're pretty decent, right?
I'm pretty decent.
Are you better than any girls out there that are
what are you saying, Christina? About girls that play video games.
I don't Halo like you do. I don't sniff Halo or smoke it or shoot it up.
You probably know someone who's pretty fucking badass at Halo. Who? Oh, that's me! I outrank all of you bitches.
You also don't play any other video games.
That's true.
Touche.
I'm not really white. I'm more of a translucent, I think. It says on my driver's license. Yeah, instead of Caucasian. Translucent. So.
You should petition to get that box on the census.
Yeah, working on it. Still fun.
All right, Christina, what about you? I'm going to skip around here. Your threesomes.
Halo Reach, of course. Those weekly challenges are going to kill me, especially this week. So I got to do like 75 firefight games. It's ridiculous. But they're clever bastards, and we'll get to that. TV, I watched the old anime series, Ghost in the Shell. That would be the series, not the movies. Movies didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but I thought the series was very well written. It had a different sort of feel to it, and they also kind of addressed, like, I liked how they addressed the ethics of having, like the ethics of robots and cyborgs. It's a silly concept, but it was actually kind of interesting the way they were wording it, just because there were parallels to today's ethics.
That would have been a much more interesting course in college, the ethics of robots.
Yeah.
Well, not ethics of business.
Are you pro artificial life?
I don't know.
I'm anti artificial life.
Let's not turn this into a political discussion.
Because okay. Then we'll have Skynet.
I hate robots.
Is that your MO tonight, Ethan?
Yeah, I hate a lot of things.
I'm not going to say anything, sit in the background. I hate that. Do you have a third threesome?
A movie, what was that movie with Tom Cruise and the Few Good Men? There we go. I watched A Few Good Men. Never seen it before. Pretty good. If you haven't seen it, go see it.
You can't handle the truth.
Dude, that was coming from somebody.
How about two at once?
Can't handle it. Justin!
No!
Ethan!
Let's calm down.
Ethan!
Let's go back to the hater in the background.
Ethan!
Or your threesomes, Ethan?
I actually didn't hate my threesomes, which is why I chose them.
Good.
I watched experimental film by Casey Affleck featuring Joaquin Phoenix, I'm Still Here, and I gotta tell you, I absolutely loved it. I won't go into too many details because I think you need to watch the movie and read about kind of the background of it. But it was genius as far as I'm concerned. It's not doing so hot in the box office right now, but I thought it was just unbelievable. What the dedication Joaquin Phoenix has to acting is something that no other actor I think can even come close to. It was an insane movie. And he's actually not that bad of a rapper. I would buy a CD. So
I didn't realize he actually put out an album during that whole thing. But
I've been looking for it. I mean, I know that was what was hinted, but I you know, he had a few songs that was featured in the movie, but I haven't found the CD, so I will buy the CD if that comes out. I'm pretty excited about that.
The only thing I'll say is, like, that whole hoax, I mean, whatever you want to call it, I respect it from the time commitment standpoint, but I don't see the payoff at all.
That is why I respect it. There can't be. He's more than likely ruined his career with this, but they don't care. Him and Casey Affleck, I don't know. That's why I respect it that much more, because there really was no payoff. People are actually kind of pissed about it.
So. Yeah, it's like that's the only two possible reactions. Like, one is they're so weirded out by him at this point that they're not going to go see the movie. And the second is they find out it was a hoax and now they're just pissed off. So.
Yeah. That's interesting. I'd like to see more. I'll be interested to see, you know, more reaction come out of that. But I mean, I recommend that movie to anyone that likes the documentary, mockumentary, just kind of a mind fuck type movie. That's one of them. Cool. Game wise, you know, Dead Rising 2 came out last week.
You don't say.
Unfortunately, I just started playing it on Friday because of some PC issues. You know, it was. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Not a lot has changed, and that's not always a bad thing. And I think that's a lesson that some developers can learn: is that, you know, a sequel doesn't have to be completely different as long as the blueprints, you know, in the first one led to a great game. You know, so I kind of applaud Capcom and Blue Castle Games for sticking to a formula. I think it just had enough to validate a sequel, and I'm loving it at this point. So.
Do you game on your PC with a controller?
On this one, no, but I need to. I mean, I usually do for most games. Just Cause 2 I do, but there's issues with getting the controller to work on Dead Rising 2 on the PC as well.
Of course.
I just have to dig into that. But I just got so sick of you know, manipulating files and that kind of thing that I was like, you know, I'll settle for the mouse and keyboard. And it wasn't too bad, so.
Yeah, it just doesn't strike me as a mouse and keyboard game.
No, it's weird, but I mean, it actually functions not too bad. So, you know, I make do with it, and I'll probably put some time into getting that to work, you know, once I get a little bit tired of the game. But at this point, I'm satisfied to be actually playing the game, so.
Cool.
Coming up on the 1 year anniversary, and my wife and I will be heading up to Michigan. So in anticipation, I've been reading Weird Michigan, which is kind of a little guide to all the weird stuff that you can find while traveling through Michigan. And there's a lot of ghost stories and weird cryptozoological type, you know, things going on up there that you'd be surprised about, and a lot of, you know, cool roadside attractions. So I always like to have a good grasp on that stuff while I travel, because it makes the actual driving not so bad. So we'll be heading up to Holland, Michigan on the 21st. So looking forward to that, and I've got some weird stuff to think about on the way.
Is that like world's biggest ball of twine and things like that?
It's in Minnesota.
It's a little bit. It's a little bit more like state to state. I mean, it's pretty obscure stuff. So they have a few things like that, but they also have local legends and that kind of thing. So, I mean, I recommend the books to anybody that's interested in that kind of stuff.
I'm picturing the last page of that book that just says, and also Detroit.
There's quite a bit about Detroit in that book, which kind of leads me to believe why that city has kind of taken the turn that it has.
It's the book's fault, I understand.
Well, there's a few legends that lead you to believe that Detroit may or may not have been produced from hell. So, I don't know.
Hellgate Detroit. All right, now, Christina, you can help me out.
Justin!
Yes.
How you doing, man?
Doing well, thanks for asking.
What'd you eat today?
I don't remember. I ate so late, I had Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's is awesome.
James Johns.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have threesomes?
Oh, I do. Okay.
Why don't you tell the kids?
I will start on the television set. Caught the last two episodes of The Colony on the Discovery Channel. I think that's where it's at.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed them. Kind of wish I hadn't jumped in right at the end, because there's really no reason to go back and watch the rest, because I know what they're building up towards. But it's a show that tries to simulate basically the apocalypse after a virus almost wipes out humanity. And it's a reality show where they takes place, I think it's down in Louisiana. And basically this group has to survive with no electricity and all this other stuff. And there's like, you know, an opposing group that's trying to keep, that keeps raiding their camp and stealing their stuff, and just documents their 50 days there and how they work together to get out. And
this is fiction, right?
It's a reality show. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a reality show, but they've basically blocked off this giant, you know, empty plot of land where this is taking place, and so they try to simulate what would happen. And
so there is some scripted stuff deliberately, and they're supposed to act accordingly, but
yeah, basically, I mean,
not in danger.
You can tell, like, over the 50 days that it shut, like, they've planned out that, you know, raids will happen at these certain days, but the colony itself doesn't know what's coming at them at what time.
Gotcha.
And they have to, like, build up to get out by a certain time, I think, or something. So, cool. But it's worth watching, and it was better than I expected from the premise. So,
well, I think this was the second season for it, too, second or third.
Really?
The first season, it was like in a warehouse.
Really?
I don't know if the setup was the same, but I'm pretty sure it was on before this. Like,
I was going to say.
Last year or 2 years ago. Yeah.
I thought it was. Fair enough. I thought it was new. But
me too.
I just kind of got into TLC and Discovery and A&E and all those channels again recently. So I'm liking it.
You're getting old. That's why.
I'm getting bored with the rest of TV.
I understand.
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm old? Or does that just mean we're just jaded because we've...
A little bit of both, I think.
Yeah. Music-wise, I've been really entertained by the new Electric Six album. And those are the guys responsible for the Gay Bar song, which Craig, my roommate, will attest to having one of the greatest music videos of all time with a bunch of dancing Abraham Lincolns. but it's been a while... Yeah, but it's been a while since, I mean, that's what I knew them for. You know, it's probably been 8 or 10 years since that came out, but they're still around, and I picked up their new album from a friend, and the fact that they're still out there doing their thing and making entertaining music, I got to hand it to the lead singer, Dick Valentine, and I just wanted to say Dick Valentine on the podcast, so that was the entire point of that. Games wise, like I said, I haven't really been playing games in the last week or so. I got a new job, so I've been focusing on that transition and just kind of breaking free this week. But I did pick up a few iPhone games, and one standout was Bit Trip Beat, which has a counterpart on WiiWare and is one of the few WiiWare games I've ever picked up. But there's a whole Bit Trip series that are, and this one's more of like a rhythm game. But it plays really well. It's like, it's $1.99. It's tied into Game Center, and it's played completely by holding the iPhone horizontally and kind of tilting it back and forth to move a paddle on the left-hand side as different, basically, balls shoot at you that match up with the beat of the music, and it just gets crazier and crazier as it goes on. And I recommend checking it out. And also check it out on the WiiWare too. It's even more trippy on there. Okay, let's go on to the on-the-spot question for the week. And this week, kind of recapping our horrible night out about 2 weeks ago, and with Ethan's love of arcades professed on the site, my question to all of you is, was there actually a good game at Dave & Buster's? And Ethan, let's go with you.
If my article told you anything, I did not think so. I have much better games at home. The only game that I would count is Avoid the Irresponsible Parents, because I was shocked that there were drunk people at 11:30 at Dave & Buster's with their kids running about. So I'm going to have to go with no on that one.
It is pretty... It just doesn't seem right that there are kids around there after 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I suppose there wasn't supposed to be.
I think it's a little late. I think it must go to like 11 on the weekends, but they're mm-hmm. supposed to get them out of there. But yeah, it's an odd mix after a certain point there. It's like, this isn't a kid's arcade, but it's also a sucky adult's arcade.
I've seen a lot of kids there. The last time I was there, they had like a youth group lock-in or something. So there was nothing but kids there. And we were all very out of place, and yeah. So, and it was way past, it had to have been like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, so way past their bedtime.
That's when you get drunk and make them feel real uncomfortable about themselves.
We were on our way for a while.
Yeah.
Cool. Was there a good game there?
Well, my favorite game was the Papa Shot, like, basketball arcade thing. I don't, like, they're in all kinds of arcades where you just shoot baskets and the goal moves forward and backwards. I think I always have a lot of fun with that and playing against some friends. That was fun. And but I did play Madden Season 2, which is a horrible version of Madden in the arcade. And but I just wanted to mention it because you play with three buttons. It's like you play Blitz with three buttons.
Well, no, that's the thing, is it's a horrible version of Madden, and it's a horrible version of Blitz.
Yeah. And
it doesn't know what it is.
It doesn't know what it is, and for some reason we played three quarters. And I don't know why, but we played three quarters.
That was money well spent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Christina, what about you?
Well, I don't know the official name of it, but there was this giant wheel with lights spinning around the edge, and you had to stop the light on the, I think, 1,000 tickets was the highest prize in there. And so I slid my card, and I went for it, and I got 1,000 tickets. And then
that is a dirty, dirty metaphor.
It. Then I waited, you know, the 5 minutes it took for it to dispense 1,000 tickets, and everyone went, "Do it again." I'm like, "All right," and I did it again right after. I was pretty impressed. Great. And then these guys in suits out of the back and said, "Ma'am, can you come with us?" And they brought me into a back room. They tied me to a chair and started beating me because I was counting dots. And I didn't know that was illegal. So I learned my lesson. I got a very awesome tiger stripe tie and contributed to the dragon. So
we fun appreciate that
by all.
I don't think we would have gotten the dragon without your victory is kind of pushing us in that direction, so.
Happy to help.
As far as the only game that I've noticed the two times that I've been there, as far as a decent game to play and an arcade game I don't remember seeing in the past, is the dogfighting game Blazing Angels. It's kind of a World War II fighter, and I was all pumped up about it, and didn't hold up as well the second time around that I played it, but it's still a solid arcade game and has the whole kind of sit down and play type of cabinet, and that was as good as it gets there. But it still seems like they could have made that game 5 years ago. That's the frustrating thing with arcades. So, but love the food, surprisingly above average at Dave and Buster's, and it was fun just to have our group there for the few hours that we're there, and definitely we'll go back in a group setting, but don't go back expecting something amazing out of the arcade there. All right, let's move on to our main feature of the show tonight, looking back at the news headlines of September, and we're going to try and determine if any of these headlines are actually going to matter in the long run. But first, we'll talk through them, and Ethan, you've selected two headlines here, and let's get to your first one.
My first one is a story that's kind of been going on for a couple months now, and in reference to Medal of Honor, the soon-to-be-forgotten first-person modern-day warfare-type game, in reference to their choice to feature the Taliban as a playable multiplayer option. They came under a lot of heat and scrutiny from the armed forces, even leading to a possible ban on the sale of the game in bases. And they stuck by this idea of authenticity in reference to using that group's namesake, you know, within the context of the game. And just this past week, they decided to opt out of that, and they changed it from the Taliban to the opposing force. You know, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. We fight Nazis and we can play as Nazis, and you could argue that, you know, Nazis were much more horrible opponents, you know, in terms of, you know, history. But then again, now is a time that we're dealing with the Taliban, and I can see why people would be sensitive to, you know, killing United or, you know, coalition soldiers as the enemy right now, because again, it is a sensitive topic. So I do feel though that Medal of Honor got their publicity, and I kind of think that's why they did this. I kind of presumed that they were going to change the name no matter what. They just wanted to get as much out as possible.
Before we get to that part, I just kind of want to go around the table and just get everybody's initial reaction when they found out that the Taliban was in the game, just like whether it mattered to you either way as far as purchasing the game. Cole.
I was mad.
Or Christina.
I'm sorry.
My voice changed.
No, so
I'll answer for Cole.
You were mad, but were you going to purchase the game, and did that change?
No. I wasn't planning on purchasing the game, and after hearing that it featured the Taliban, I definitely didn't want to even consider it for a rental.
Gotcha.
I think it was just a stunt. And again, yeah, I think they just wanted their moment in the spotlight. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. And I've seen too many movies. It's all about timing. Yeah, we have games that feature Nazis, and I'm sure there are people who are even uncomfortable with that. But, you know, I don't know too many elderly people who are playing video games, so not as much of a problem with it, I guess. But, yeah, it's about timing. I think it's too soon. And there was some other stuff I heard about the Taliban.
Hold on one second. Let me get to Cole, and then we'll have our bigger discussion. This is a big topic, so
it's huge.
But Cole, what was your initial reaction?
I thought it was dumb that they would name it that, but it didn't affect whether or not I was going to purchase it or not, because I wasn't going to purchase it anyway, because it's too much like Call of Duty or the Modern Warfare games. So it's not a big issue to me. I was talking to a couple guys at work about it, and it seemed like everybody just think it's stupid. Like, why would they even name it that in the first place and then go ahead and change it? I mean, just stick to your guns or don't do it in the first place.
Yeah, it actually, I had the same sense as you before. It didn't, I thought it was stupid, but it wasn't going to bother me on buying the game. I was waiting for reviews to see if it was worth playing, because I was actually excited about the revival of Medal of Honor and EA throwing another shooter in the mix and, you know, hopefully challenging Call of Duty a little bit, but I thought it was stupid. And now, I don't want to buy it because they backed away from it. Because just because of the way they defended it originally, it's kind of like a creative decision, and like that they were integrating it into the story, and it was important that this happened. And you know, looking back at the Call of Duty, you know, mission where you play as the terrorist, like they integrated it in the story and had a little bit of care around it, but this just seemed sensational from the start. And then now, like a week away from the release, or 2 weeks away from the release, you announce that you're taking it out. I can't help but feel that that was the plan all along, and I hate sensationalism around that type of stuff. And
well, especially since the game is probably already gone to press or close to it as possible, for have that to be a last minute change is like seems impossible that they could get it done before they pressed all the discs.
Yeah,
without having that in mind the whole time.
Yeah, that's what's unsettling.
And my biggest issue with it is the fact that, you know, even when they retracted the name, they said it didn't have anything to do with the bans. You know, it was because they were showing respect and this and that. But I think that's bullshit. I really think that they retracted it because, oh, they knew that they were probably not going to sell as much. And that's the big thing I had an issue with is in the end, it translated to money, and they didn't have that thoughtfulness beforehand. You know, now they decided that it was going to offend people. I mean, I don't know. I just think EA had their heads up their ass with it. And I just think it's just it was a big stunt, and I think they're going to pay for it. I really do. I think that game is going to be abysmal, and I think a lot of people are going to you know, not buy into that kind of crap again. So
yeah, do we think will this headline matter? Will we be talking about this in a year?
Oh yeah, I think EA is going to really regret that decision. I really do. I think a lot of people are. I think they lost a lot of credibility.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Cool. About your second article, Ethan.
you know, another thing that I have strong opinions about, but not in terms of an ethical standpoint, but Dead Space 2, they announced that there was going to be a multiplayer component to it. And I saw the preview video of it. It's reminiscent of a Left 4 Dead, kind of objective-based. You know, you're able to play as the...
Necromorphs.
I was going to say necrophytes, but yeah, necromorphs.
Necrophiliacs.
That's a different game.
Yeah.
I think that was a Japanese-made game, though.
More than likely. If it had tentacles involved, it's definitely Japanese. But
oh, God.
The idea to be able to play as those creatures is cool. I'm just kind of pissed about it, to be quite honest with you, because I think that, you know, game developers are losing touch with what people want. And Dead Space was a great game. Dead Space 2 has a lot of potential, but the amount of time and effort they have to put in the multiplayer is going to take away from the single-player game, no matter what. And I think there's a place for multiplayer in games like Modern Warfare 2, etc. But no, you're not going to play Dead Space multiplayer for a long time. It's going to be, you know, amusing, and that's about all. You know, I think it's really going to deviate from what Dead Space 2 did in the beginning, and I really think that it's going to pull away from what Dead Space 2's potential could be.
I'm going to counterpoint a little bit, even though I mostly agree with you, that I've been skeptical of Dead Space 2 since they announced it, along with saying that they're trying to speed up the single-player gameplay. And just from the fact that that was just a pure horror game for me when I played Dead Space 1, and probably the scariest game of the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was disappointed that they were trying to make it more of an action game, and I'm hoping the atmosphere is still there on the single player. Now, for the multiplayer stuff, the only thing that I feel like it's completely unnecessary and not the reason you're buying the game, but it can't hurt to add it in, because if I've learned anything from the Assassin's Creed series and kind of just being worried about sequels coming out too soon, is you've got to give them some credit now where they're laying the foundation with a solid game engine, that it's not taking them as long to make the single-player experience as it did for the first one. So I guess I'm not as worried about the quality of the single-player experience or them focusing more on the multiplayer. It looks like it's probably a different team, more people, that kind of thing. But at the same time, I feel it's completely unnecessary. And but I still do get a chuckle out of every Left 4 Dead Space joke that comes out of this.
I don't like how it seems a lot of developers are just shoehorning, not necessarily shoehorning, but putting multiplayer in their games just to get kind of that feeling of a Modern Warfare 2. It seems like some games who could use a multiplayer are getting it when otherwise they wouldn't. So that trend is going to be an interesting one to watch, to see how many games that don't necessarily translate into multiplayer get multiplayer.
And the other side, and Christina, you'd be an interesting perspective on this, because the BioShock multiplayer, I had the same reaction to it, in that I don't like it when they add a multiplayer component that kind of changes the story or the atmosphere or the universe that these games are contained in. Now, they got around it in BioShock by making you play as the Splicers, but like, yeah. the setup in Dead Space 2 of like multiple Isaac Clarks trying to do like little capture the flag type missions while tons of necromorphs are attacking them, I don't see how that fits into the world, and that bugs me.
So you did not like the BioShock setup?
In the end, I think they made it work because it didn't affect the main storyline, because they even went out of their way to, well, one, it was a different team that was working on it, and two, the plot wasn't connected. They went out of their way to say that this was before, like, early Rapture stuff.
They tied it into the universe without destroying the campaign stories, which was nice.
And if they do if they do that in Dead Space 2, I'll be pissed.
I'm not familiar with Dead Space, so
you don't
I
care.
I hope it's good. I hope you enjoy it. But, yeah, I think a lot of these games, and I'm kind of worried about Assassin's Creed Brotherhood doing the same thing where, you know, it's like, well, we have the ability to make a multiplayer, so why not? And, you know, I just wonder how structurally sound it'll be.
I'm worried about it until every video that comes out looks awesome. So
right. I'll probably play it for a bit, but nothing like Halo or Modern Warfare 2.
And I think we'll be talking about this story in a year, Ethan.
Yeah, I think we're, maybe not specifically this story, but the precedent that seems to be being set at this point in that multiplayer is more of a chip to increase sales as opposed to an appropriate aspect or of a game. So I think we will be in general.
Cool. All right, let's move on to Christina's headlines. The first story that had your attention?
Well, Activision Blizzard's doing something with, I don't
boil know. It down for us.
Huh?
I said boil it down for us.
It's... Obama started this thing called, oh God, what is it? The Change the Equation, which it sounds like it's some educational thing involving, with a focus on science, technology, engineering, and math, abbreviated as STEM. And all that the article really said was that Activision, along with some other companies, are going to create some kind of educational program. They don't really say how they're going to do that, but I have a feeling that it was created in response to maybe some of our socially awkward gamers, which are 90% of them.
So
myself included.
I know you're actually working on something for this, but is it related to the other Obama stuff where he's pushing like for educational video games to be made? Is it related to the same type of stuff?
I honestly don't know. I would imagine.
Let's just face it, we were all weirded out that Activision is working with our government.
Yeah, it's strange to see Blizzard's name and Obama's
Activision.
Name.
don't soil Blizzard.
I'm sorry. I love you guys, Blizzard. Love you. I don't know how. I mean, they're not going to be working with him. He just kind of started this thing, and everyone else is going to carry it. But their claims here are ridiculous. I mean. Let's see, our collaboration will not only help students, but will revive our economy. Let's stop right there. Really? I mean, I can't even think of a scenario that they can... How will they revive our economy with games? I mean, any thoughts?
I don't know. The game industry has been doing better than most media industries.
Yeah, and maybe because it's doing so well, they figure, well, we need to bring something educational into that because I really do think games overall are making our generation stupider.
But at the same time, I think it takes some of our smarter ones to actually make them. Maybe I'm biased.
True. So no, hopefully, they're very very intelligent people behind the making of these games.
Yes, Ethan.
Well, we need a more of a focus on the science and technology because, I mean, anything that you hear, you know, we're behind, I mean, in terms of the United States. And if there's anything that they can do to, you know, segue between people, you know, getting back interested in those fields, I mean, video games are a really good way to do so, you know, as you start out with the computer programming aspect of it, and that may lead you to other fields. I just think that there's potential to it. I mean, whether or not it you know, happens because Obama has – made you know, quite a few claims that haven't really translated well at this point. So again, I just would like to I'll believe it when I see it, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe can we include games like Rock Band into this kind of program? I mean, you know, with the next one, the Rock Band 3 release, you're able to learn how to play an actual guitar, which is a pretty big step for a game, I think. Especially one so widespread. So
yeah, it never comes across that they're just trying to, you know, make a bunch of crappy iPhone games or like little puzzle games.
Right.
Like they're trying to, you know, lure developers in with the whole entertainment aspect, but hopefully, you know, it's a half a step away from like educational systems and simulations and going on to, you know, broader technological development. So
I almost picture like a Prince of Persia game where, you know, you're typically locked in a room and you have to figure out a way to the next one. Maybe with this new program in effect, you know, you have to do quantum physics in order to figure out how to bring your
maybe they're just
character into
maybe
the next
they're
room.
Actually just trying to build Aperture Science.
I just want an HD remake of Number Munchers.
Yeah, in 3D.
The last thing I wanted to say on this, though, going away from the Activision bashing, it's also interesting that they are the kind of the industry leader on the business side, that they would have to be the one to step up. I mean, if it's not, you know, Microsoft, Sony, or Nintendo, or EA, somebody's got to step up, and it's, you know, Activision has a ton of money and a ton of resources, and it'll be interesting to see what their next steps to bridge with other industries are actually going to be with, you know, feeding off of all the World of Warcraft subscribers. So, I think this is more of a wait and see if this headline matters. So,
definitely.
What is your second headline, Christina?
It would be the rate of Halo releases to be more frequent than before, which immediately reading that just scared me because the article doesn't go into too much detail again, but basically just saying that this new group, 343 Industries, has taken over from Bungie, and they are going to be releasing more games a year. And I think there was a year gap between Halo ODST and Halo Reach. And you guys,
I'm gonna look up the timeline
well
while you keep going. I'm gonna look up the timeline of the Halo.
We looked it up before. I think it was September of 2009 was ODST, and here we are, September 2010. We have Reach. So it's been a year. When did Halo Wars come out, though?
That doesn't count.
All right, moving on. But
hold
yeah,
on. Here we
my
go.
My concern is that it. ODST was such a disappointment. It came out, fairly quickly after Halo Reach, and it was advertised initially as kind of not a full game. I was surprised to see it selling for $60. The way it was described to me was it was going to be kind of a mini chapter, you know.
I expected 40 tops when that came out.
More like downloadable content, if anything.
It did drop in price quickly.
True,
but
because it sucked.
That's not what we're talking about. Just for conversation's sake, looking at the Halo series, the main Halo games, there's a 3-year gap between Halo 1 and 2, 2 and 3,
yeah.
And then 3 and Reach, with the 2-year gap between Halo 3 and ODST. And I think that's what they're trying to tackle with the release them more frequently, but... I mean, everybody, when Reach came out, everybody was, I mean, when ODST came out, everybody was still worried of that Halo has a very distinct gameplay formula to it, and, you know, did we really want to do that again? I can't help but feel those types of series, and I'd lump Gears of War in there, too. You know, I really only need that gameplay every 2 to 3 years. I don't need...
Yeah.
I think they just need to find a way to maybe every year and a half do some sort of $20, $30 release that refreshes the multiplayer component or something. Like how about instead of releasing ODST, $20, you release the fully featured firefight mode and a ton of new maps and, you know, like update Forge and like the kind of side Halo stuff.
Yeah.
But I like the 3-year gaps in major franchises. That's why the other series bother me. And as much as I tried to talk up in our debate, 343 Industries and Microsoft, and saying be careful, you know, you've got something great here, and don't fuck it up. And it just sounds like what, a week after Halo Reach comes out, that gets announced, and it's just like I don't want to be a part of this future Halo-ness. So
meh.
Meow, see. Anybody else have any, like, potential positive spin to that? Because it seems like we all had the same kind of gut reaction to it.
If they do a different type of game, that'd be nice.
I
Halo Wars?
Well, I don't know.
I just don't see it. I don't know what else. I mean, I don't know. I just think that it's going to be saturated. I mean, I don't know what else you can do. I agree with you, Justin, on the downloadable content idea of it. I just think that, you know, think about the people that, you know, got into Halo 3 and then, you know, really got into ODST and then now Reach is out. So it's like you've got to change a game, you know, every year, and you can't just get settled into it. And I think there's something to be said for settling into a game and really having a lot of cool content that comes in afterwards, but still having the same basic game, you know?
I think they got to look at... I mean, that's the one thing. Yeah, Nintendo rehashes all their franchises, but there's a good gap in time between their major franchises. Like, you know, it's...
There's not a lot of sequelitis with Nintendo games.
Yeah, I mean, even... I mean, look at the fucking Zelda series and how little things change, yet we're all excited for it, and there's just enough time since I've played Twilight Princess that, oh, I could go for some more Zelda. And
I just think with Halo, it's like, for me personally, I haven't really... I played a lot of Halo 2 multiplayer, and then picking up Reach, from that to this... iteration of Halo, it doesn't seem like there's been that much of a change in terms of how the game plays. Graphically, yes. I mean, there's definitely a lot of other things, but like, I picked it up right away and I was like, oh, okay, this is Halo, you know? And I think why can't, besides money, if money wasn't a thing, why can't these kind of series just be retired, you know, come up with something new?
Yeah.
Again. They haven't done a third person format for Halo, and that may be cool, more of an RPG than a first person shooter.
It's
kind of like what StarCraft Ghosts was potentially going
to
be.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have to go in a new direction with it, but I could see them, you know, doing a major Halo release every 2 years and then doing this kind of side Halo game of, you know, an adventure game or a strategy game or an RPG or
side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Yes. Or side-scrolling beat-em-up.
343 has to be very careful, because if they do a first-person shooter,
yeah, they
screw it up, they're fucked.
Yeah.
Oh, but they're... Don't kid yourselves, it's Microsoft calling the shots, too. So it's like the... As much as I bash the Guitar Hero series on Neversoft, I mean, Neversoft is Activision's bitch. They've had to make 8 Tony Hawk games and 5 Guitar Hero games or whatever it's been, and they just don't have... They're just the workhorse. So, be careful, Microsoft, is all I have to say. All right, Coleman, let's jump to your first headline.
Well, keeping with the Microsoft topic, they announced... I guess it was the last day of August, but we're still counting it as September. That Xbox Live is going to be doing a price hike starting November 1st. Xbox Live Gold will be $59.99 instead of $49.99. So a little $10 increase for the year. For the year subscription, 3 months will go from $20 to $25. So I know a lot of people were upset by it, but it's just, to me, it's like not that big a deal. It's just like a game purchase anyway. Like, I'll get one less game every year because I have to pay for Live. But there hasn't been an announcement of any new content for the price hike, really. So I guess we're just going to have to wait and see if the content is deserving of the price hike, or if it stays the same, then I can understand why people are going to be more upset.
They've done a very poor job of marketing or explaining this price hike. I could care less about, you know, the $10 increase over the year or whatever it is. And because like you said, it's still, to me, it's still the price of a game, and they haven't raised the price historically on this. And it's, you know, they probably have more expenses on their end, and they do yearly dashboard updates and are continuing to add new features to Xbox Live, and so it doesn't bug me too much. But at the same time, you got to give us, what are we getting for this? And they have yet. I mean, that, like you said, that came out late August, early September when the news broke, and they still have yet to say what we're really getting for it. And that's and if it's, you know, another kind of Netflix type of deal where you have to pay the Xbox Live subscription plus the Netflix subscription. Like, those aren't deals. Those aren't, that's not helping me. Like,
granted, it's been 8 years at $50 in their defense. It's been, you know, since 2002, it's been $50 across the board. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's
things
time.
Go up in price. I mean, because of inflation or whatever, it is time for a price hike, but they haven't, like you said, they have not said what we're getting for that $10 instead of just regular what we've been getting.
Yeah, games were $50 when that was announced.
Yeah.
So it's just, I'm surprised it didn't happen when the 360 launched, but Microsoft just has, they're in a position to actually be much more successful than they are and have much better PR than they do. And they just continually flub little things like this that still makes everybody kind of question their motives. And that's frustrating to see, is I want to be their fan and they make it hard.
Well, and knowing that they just started making money, like the Xbox division, I guess I heard just started making money in this past year. And it seems like now that you know that, like this $10 hike is like, oh, so now you're wanting more money. You're just being greedy. So it's not necessarily a positive thing.
It's this damned economy, guys. Everything's going up.
Well, and it's even like, I mean, yeah, okay, so your prices go up. And even if they were like, look, I mean, we have to do it. I think people, you know, deserve something. I mean, I'm not, I don't feel like I
don't deserve shit, Ethan.
$10. Well, you know, but that's kind of the attitude people have towards Microsoft sometimes, that Microsoft does things and they're just like, deal with it, asshole. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think if someone came out and was like, look, we want to make more money, or we're greedy assholes or something, then being silent about it just makes it seem so sketchy.
Yeah. It would be easier to swallow a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just their press release, all it says is it's time, that's it.
Yeah. Deal with it, dickheads.
Yeah, I would like that better. You're right, that's funny. I don't think we'll be talking about in a year. I think we all, you know, blindly subscribe to it anyway at this point.
And yeah,
until it's and it's still comparable to the PlayStation pricing, and so it's
$70 a year.
Yeah. What's your second headline there, Coleman?
Next one is, you guys ready to feel old?
No.
Bring it back.
Super Mario Brothers is 25 years old.
Aww.
Nuh-uh.
And,
the story's been denied.
Okay, well then, I guess this article is wrong.
Damn.
Nintendo is releasing, basically, the Super Mario All-Stars that came out for the Super Nintendo, I don't know, 93, I guess it was.
Yeah.
But they're releasing a new collection for the Wii as a 25th anniversary celebration for Mario. And as far as I know, it's not coming to the U.S., but I would really like it to, because, you know, I might as well buy that again. I bought Mario All-Stars the first time it came out, and Nintendo's good about getting me to buy things twice, so I think it's really cool. Like, it comes with a DVD-sized Super Mario History, 1985, 2010. I guess it's a DVD, not DVD-size. A DVD-size case. It's a collector's item. You know, it has a booklet and a CD. The CD has music from the original Super Mario Brothers all the way through the most recent Super Mario Galaxy 2. So, I don't know. It looks pretty cool. I would like to have it in my collection, but I don't know if it's going to come stateside or not.
And they haven't announced anything about it stateside, but I'm less excited about the games. I'm ready for a new fully packaged version of them all, but really, I want some collector's item shit for this. Like, I want like that thing to come in, like, you know, a tin and have an art book and have
the kinds book, of timeline. The history book is cool.
Yeah, that stuff I can get into, because Nintendo hasn't really done that with Mario, and I think it's long overdue. And so if they announce more stuff like that, then I'll be really salivating. So
yeah, they really haven't done anything like that here. Maybe in Japan they have before, but we don't have any like history of Mario kind of stuff. I mean, there's gobs and gods of merchandise, but in terms of like Nintendo celebrating their what really put them on the map, it's not really, doesn't exist here.
Yeah, it's kind of strange too, but that's just the difference between Nintendo and everybody else. They don't really They don't really do the collector shit. So. But I love that shit. I love it.
So I don't really think this is going to matter in a year, but...
It'll matter if it gets announced in the United States.
I just like the story. Like, I think it's cool. I feel really old that Super Mario is 25, and then I found out other things are 25 years old, like Back to the Future, and I'm just like, oh my god.
Yeah. So, it only gets worse from here.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely hope it comes out.
Thank you for the Debbie Downer article.
I'm really depressed right now.
Yeah.
Let me bring you back up.
How are you going to do that?
I'm going to be talking about zombies. Dead Rising 2 Case Zero.
No, stop. Stop right there. You had a perfect opportunity to do a pun. I'm going to bring you back up, Dead Rising, you know, upward. Man, don't let it happen again.
I think she's ready to quit the podcast.
I'm just disappointed you let a perfectly good pun slip by.
You should punch him for that.
There.
Thank you for bringing us back.
There.
Welcome.
So, sorry.
Zombies? Zombies? Okay.
Zombies, yes. Dead Rising 2 Case Zero, the $5 downloadable...
Pre-LC.
Pre-LC, sure. It broke all kinds of Xbox Live Arcade download records, so probably sales records too for that cheap of a game, I guess. I bought it. I still haven't really played it.
Me too.
I just remembered that I bought it reading this right now.
Drill bucket.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be, that's a cool thing. Like, it's going to definitely happen in the future with other games, I'm sure. But, to surpass like such awesome games as Shadow Complex and Trials HD, that's a pretty major feat in the Xbox Live Arcade. And, you know, I think the one downside to it is it might cannibalize me getting the regular Dead Rising 2, because I might get my fill with Case Zero, but for a lot of people it's just a taste of what they want.
Yeah, I think it's great for Capcom. They could use some sales boosts and some good news. They've been struggling lately, but I think the reason this did so well has to do with the fact that it, for some people, it might be the perfect size of Dead Rising that they need compared to, we've talked a little bit about the divisiveness of that game, the gameplay of that, and how, you know, the timeline works and how the saves work and some things that can be frustrating about it. Like, you either kind of love it or hate it, but I think the length of Case Zero is almost perfect for that game, for the people that couldn't quite get into it. So I'm interested to see, because we are going to see a lot more of this coming from other games and other companies. So,
well, I just hope it's not, you know, Dead Rising, the Case Zero is a, you know, it's a pretty long game in itself. Like, I just hope we're not going to see demo length games being sold, because that would suck. And I think some of the companies are going to try to get away with it.
Yeah, I think they self-contained it really well, and they did a lot of things right, and fucking nailed the price. I mean, it's $5. Who's not gonna like? It's the best $5 looking game on the Xbox Live, and
too rich for my blood.
And it has drill buckets, but yeah, I'm just really, this will be the high point, and then I can't wait to see who fucks this up, who releases the most half-assed pre-LC that we're going to see.
Activision. Yeah, Activision.
It'll be Activision.
Ethan, did you download, or did you play this? Because I know
you're... I went to great efforts to play this, and it is a game that you either love or hate, but I think that it was cool that this came out, because again, that prevented people from buying into a game that they may not have liked. So, I mean, that's kind of cool that Capcom did that, because you're right, they could have cannibalized their sales and they could have shot themselves in the foot, but they also were kind of saying, look, you know, we want to give you something to lead into the game, and it's been a while since we played Dead Rising, the first one. So, no, I thought this is cool, and I'd love to see this again. I really would. I had a lot of fun with that, and I played that game to the fuck out of that game, to be quite honest with you. So $5, I got my money's worth.
And it just whetted your appetite for more Dead Rising 2, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, it was a great transition. I mean, I was even more excited for Dead Rising 2 after playing that. So, I mean, they achieved their mission with me, at least.
They also announced Dead Rising 2 Case... oh, shit, I forgot his name. Who's the...
Frank West.
Case West. Do you think you'll have more Dead Rising left in you for that one, Ethan?
We'll see. We'll see. I've played a lot of it right now. You know, I really enjoyed it, but you know, what leads me further in story or in games is the story. And, you know, Dead Rising isn't really, you know, it's too story based to be quite honest with you. So they need to have something to get me to buy that. They really need to offer something completely new. I think
what happens is you get to duct tape the two protagonists together. Yeah. And you make a super protagonist. And
hammer nails into them, yeah. Yeah.
Call him Frank Chuck.
I like it. So do we think this will matter, Coleman?
Oh, yeah, I think it will. Definitely, like, going down the road, other companies are going to do this and try to copy Capcom's success, probably. And it's probably going to fail in some respects. I mean, it's like the perfect game to do it with, too. Yeah. Like, that's the thing that you have to look at, like, is a racing game going to be, you know, I mean, you could release a track and...
Yeah, you're right. That's we're going to get
into. It's like, it's going to be crazy.
It's going to blur the lines of paid demos, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there'll be some good ones too out of it. So, all right, moving on to my headlines. I'm going to start with a game that no one I know of actually played. Hydrophobia was...
I'm scared of that.
you're scared of the... You have hydrophobia-phobia?
Uh-huh.
It was the first Xbox Live arcade game in the Game Feast campaign that's going on right now. And for as much as we have talked about downloadable content this summer, downloadable games this summer, this is one of the first big missteps as far as a featured game on Live Arcade and with the campaigns that have been going on there, and that it didn't get really reviewed very well. I mean, I can't really speak to it because the reviews turned me off. And the developer of Hydrophobia did not take that news very well, that it was not being reviewed correctly. The developer is Dark Energy Digital, and they actually, you know, sent out some kind of scathing comments about specific editors. One, that based on their review, you can clearly tell that they haven't played this game. That was strike one. And strike two, they, when getting responses to that comment and being told that the editor did complete the game and still hated it, they insisted that the editor had played the game wrong. And those are just two very big pet peeves as far as games journalism goes. I mean, they have to walk, you know, lines between PR and doing their job as journalists and giving their opinions. It's just it's frustrating to see developers lash out like that, especially smaller developers that are trying to make a name for themselves. And I just, you know, that I think between having a bad game and attacking journalists, you've made a lot of enemies in the video game industry pretty quick. But so there was a pretty funny rant on Destructoid with Jim Sterling, kind of talked a little bit about the story, and it was just one misstep after another for Dark Energy Digital, and I hadn't seen anything like that in a while. So does that rub anybody else the wrong way?
I've been rubbed.
Yeah, I think it's pretty ballsy on their part to do that, and you wonder what their motivation is. Like, are they worried about the coverage of their game, or are they trying to get their name out there, or what? Just, you know, so more people will know about it. Because definitely, like, I wasn't paying attention to this game at all and really didn't know anything about it, but now, after all the hype and stuff with the bad reviews, and I even checked some other sites and they gave it some good reviews, I definitely was more interested in it now. So they might have succeeded in letting me know what their game is, but there's just good ways to handle these situations, and there's bad ways to handle these situations, and they're definitely handling it poorly.
Yeah, maybe that's just that's the other side of inexperience in the industry, I guess. But I just it always surprises me when game companies do this when they're so closely tied to technology and they kind of like, you know, misuse Twitter or misunderstand, you know, just the power of popular opinion on the internet. And
yeah, I mean, I understand. Right into it. Yeah, I mean, I understand like how stuff you work on is you hold it very close and dear to you, and you don't want anything to or anybody to think negative about it. But you know, sometimes it's just the way it is, and you got to deal with it. And this company, what is it, Dark Energy Digital.
DED dead.
Dead is dead.
I don't think it'll matter in the long term. I don't think we'll hear from them again. They'll either change their name or be bought by somebody or something. But
or somebody's getting fired.
But one of the first missteps in the Xbox Live campaign. So gotta screen even their featured games a little bit more now. The next story came out of Nintendo had a press conference towards the end of the month and finally revealed all of the Nintendo DS pricing and release date details, well, at least for Japan. But really what I wanted to focus on was the pricing, because right now they're saying it's going to retail in Japan for about $300 in U.S. money. And shortly after that, there were some articles mentioning that basically Nintendo was reacting to how great of a reception the 3DS got at E3, and it kind of, you know, bumped up their fact that there's going to be more of a demand for this. And so I was pretty surprised by the price. They're saying most people are guessing that it's going to be $250 in the United States when it comes out in March, and which is a little bit more acceptable. And but it's still higher than I would have expected for a Nintendo handheld, and especially when you compare it, it's more than the Wii. Now it's a pretty impressive piece of technology at the same time, and I'm sure the costs are there, but just kind of funny to maybe at the beginning of seeing Nintendo getting a little bit ahead of themselves when they've been in the business of printing money these last few years.
Do you know how much regular DS games are priced now?
They're depending on the quality of the tile between $20 and $30 usually.
So I wonder if the price will go up for this thing too.
Yeah.
In that department.
$30 to $40 probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but technology that's needed to even develop for the games is going to take a lot more time and even the development kits are going to be more expensive. So the companies have to recoup their costs somewhere.
And it looks like, you know, GameCube quality graphics on it. And
yeah,
I mean, check out those screenshots. I mean, the games look good, but you know, again, I really don't play my DS too often these days. I'm more interested for the novelty of seeing how they pulled off 3D than actually buying one to hold on to it. So we'll see how that actually sells. But $300?
That's as much as a PS3 and an Xbox.
No. Yeah. No. It's I can't remember the last like handheld thing I take that back. I got a PSP long after it had come out. And I mean, how much were those running for?
$800. way too much money. I don't remember.
$200, $250.
I think I paid about $100 for mine. And I only got it to play Final Fantasy. I don't know. The appeal of handheld games now to me I guess it's gone.
The last handheld device I put that much money into was my dick.
thanks for bringing us back.
I just picture him sitting in the corner in his chair just waiting for a moment to derail.
I've been waiting for like 5 minutes on that one because I really had nothing else to add to the discussion.
Nah. The last thing I'll say is looking at the price point is Apple's been attacking Nintendo more as far as touting the iPhone as the iPod Touch is kind of the number one handheld gaming device, yeah, because there are more iPods and iPhones in people's hands than DSs. And so when you compare the price on that level versus historically the handheld market, you know, maybe we were getting a deal all along. But, you know, there's still a lot of features that this 3DS isn't going to do that my iPod Touch could do. So anyway, just throwing out that out there. I don't think this will matter. I think people are going to fucking buy it anyway. So it's, I'm tired of betting against Nintendo, and I'll blindly think they're doing the right thing for at least the next year. So, all right, last story of the day of the month is something that none of us thought would actually ever happen. But towards the beginning of the month at the Penny Arcade Expo in Seattle, Gearbox unveiled that the rumors were indeed true, that they were finishing and planning on releasing early next year Duke Nukem Forever. And this is a game that we'd long since given up on, but has had a ridiculous development cycle and had been formally canceled by 3D Realms more recently. But Gearbox ended up buying the Duke Nukem name and has some of the 3D Realms team helping them finish it up and swiped it up and then packaged it up and sent it out, and people were able to play it at PAX this year. And I think that was just like the most bizarre news story in a long time, and especially that weekend for PAX, that it just kind of overshadowed everything else that was going on at PAX, that like people are, I'm sitting here right now in my home doing whatever I was doing, and somebody's playing Duke Nukem Forever, and I had really given up on that ever
is
happening.
Is it 1999?
Yeah.
that reminded me of The Wizard. Remember that movie? And you watch it at the very end, they start playing Super Mario 3, and you're just like, holy shit, that's out? Like, that's a feeling I had when I saw Duke Nukem actually was coming out. I was pretty pumped.
And I got to admit, the hype for it, the resurgence of it, is going to be much more fun than the game actually looks. But I'm turning into a pretty big fan of Gearbox. One, because they made the port of Halo that got me into that series. It was when I first heard about them, and they, you know, did a lot of kind of like secondhand work that way for a number of years, and have kind of gotten a bigger name for themselves recently. And Borderlands was one of my favorite games of last year, and just to see them kind of, you know, step up to the plate on this one and saying, hey, we can finish this game. And I don't think it matters how good it actually is. I mean, I'm sure it will be playable. I'm guessing it'll feel something like a little bit more advanced Serious Sam, I guess, is what I would expect. But that it doesn't have to be anything more. And just the fact that it's coming out and they step to the plate, I think that's the coolest part of the story.
Balls of steel.
I'm pumped up. I'm ready for a protagonist like Duke Nukem. I don't know. I think he's kind of been missed. I think every other, you know, game character is gruff and, you know, solemn, and I mean, other than, you know, like the Nathan Drakes. But I'm ready for some Duke Nukem. I'm ready for some balls to wall action, and I'm ready for a game that doesn't necessarily take itself too seriously. So
and I hope it doesn't take itself too seriously. Like, and I hope it doesn't over.
I don't think a game that opens up with like chicks giving Duke oral sex is going to take itself too seriously.
No, I mean, like,
really?
Yeah, it does. You're playing the...
But the demo did, anyway.
The demo opens with you playing the end boss from Duke Nukem 3D, but with new graphics, and then it zooms out as you beat the boss, and he's, yeah, getting serviced by two ladies.
So, aw, that's nice.
Yeah. That's good. I just hope they don't... Like, I'm excited, like you are, Ethan. We haven't had a hero like this in a while, and it, you know, whether it works or not, it's going to be a nice change. But I hope they don't go too far with being too Duke. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I mean, cute.
Like if it's that type of joke every 2 seconds, you know, and they just never let up. That's
sort of Stifler.
Yeah.
Yeah. So something I haven't heard anybody talking about. This game has to cost like $500, right? When it comes out, just to make up for all the money that they lost on it.
Well, I mean, that company's pretty much gone, so I don't think Gearbox is really losing too much money on it. And they get to use the Duke Nukem name and whatever else they want to do. He can cameo in all their games for all they care, probably.
Duke Nukem Kart Racer.
But I'd actually be surprised if it's a fully priced game, honestly. Like, it should be. Unless they... Because they finished it so quickly, it and it's been in development for so long, it can't have, like, all the features of modern shooters. It's just got to be more of an arcade shooter. And to me, that, you know, it almost needs to be like a $40 game at most. But I'm sure they'll charge full price, but it shouldn't be.
So I think they'd get a lot more sales if it came out at $40 too.
I do too. Like I'm not gonna buy it for $60. But I'll try it for $40.
Yeah.
So this will only matter if the game actually comes out. So hopefully we have.
What if it's just horrible?
I'd still try it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it fucking matters. Like, it's not going to be as good as The Wait, and it's not going to revolutionize anything. So, yeah, as long as it's playable, right?
That is a good point. What, like, 11 years in the making, 12 years in the making, that is a lot to live up to. That just kind of put things into perspective.
I mean, that came to a head probably 6 years ago. I mean, it just became a joke in the industry, and that nobody ever thought it was going to come out. But I think people gave up on it being any good 6 or 7 years ago. Because, yeah. I mean, the game started being developed on the Quake 2 engine. And, you know, how about and at the same time, 3D Realms isn't making other shooters to keep up with all the changes. And like, it's kind of the same thing I felt about Doom 3, is that id Software had developed technologically, being able to make great game engines, but gameplay-wise, their games weren't as fun as they used to be because they refused to adopt new gameplay elements that modern shooters have. And if you're out of the game for 12 years, don't think you can just jump in and think you know what the audience wants anymore. So, anyway.
It's time to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
You let that little kid on podcast again. Get the fuck out of here.
His parents must be drunk.
Go play Halo.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Come back to Dave and Buster's.
All right, let's take this bad boy home. Gonna breeze through some HorribleNight.com updates real quick. Our Name the Mascot contest, actually phase one, concludes as this podcast goes up on Wednesday, and so we'll be putting the list of the five best names that we've gotten so far and vote for a week on those and choose a name for the mascot and hand out our much dismissed 3-month subscription to Xbox Live Arcade, Xbox Live, and people just haven't been as excited about that free gift as I thought they might be, but we'll still get a name for this dragon. Then I also wanted to point out that we have a new member of the Cursed. Last week, Street Alchemist formally joined the site and has been putting up some good retro reviews on the site, and has an upcoming Nintendo DS review of the new Professor Layton game. So happy to have Street Alchemist on board, and hopefully he'll be on the podcast soon. And also wanted to point out that our last week's podcast will be featured in the main navigation of the site for the near future, just as an intro for people to the site. So if you ever want to go back and kind of learn the story of how Horrible Night came together and what our plans are for the future of the site, that's the podcast to check out. So, all right, last second shout-outs to the gaming industry. Let's blow through this really quick, starting with Christina.
I have a feeling that the way Halo is rigged up right now, Halo Reach, it has about 5 sets of achievements that you can get. And one of them is, I mean, these daily and weekly challenges. They're, like, this week's is ridiculous, 75 firefight matches. And I started adding up how much time that would take me to do if I really go for that this week. And then it occurred to me that, hey, these people at well, maybe not Bungie anymore, but someone's got to be using these stats for, like, commercial gain. Like, they can recognize the people who are wasting, you know, 100 hours a week on games like this. And I don't know. I have a feeling that these stats are going to be used for evil.
Yes.
However, I don't think that'll dissuade me from.
I was going to say, are you thinking about going into hiding again, privatizing your profile?
Yeah, no, I.
Yeah, you just don't want to be found out. That's
no.
After you accomplish the 75 firefight games in a day.
That's something to be proud of.
What about you, Ethan?
I just wanted to give a shout out to the Games for Windows Live Games for Windows Live help support team. They spoke with me for about an hour and a half on Thursday. They helped me through my issues getting Dead Rising 2 loaded. They figured out a solution that was just out their ass, and it worked. And they really patient, and I appreciate it. You know, that's a cool thing that you're able to. Get some good support from someone who's actually from this country and you can understand them. So a big shout out to them.
Nice. I knew you were pretty frustrated with that, so I'm glad it worked out. Coleman?
I got a friend I work with. His gamer tag is Rain Man on the PSN, and he's been asking me about 360, and he's been wanting to get one, so I'm telling him he should get one. And he's a listener to the podcast, so he'll appreciate that.
I agree. He should get one.
He's going to get it anyway, so might as well get
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. We should write an article. He can submit an article about it.
Yeah.
I don't really know much about the site, but I just wanted to point out the fact that GameCrush.com is now live, the dating service for gamers where you can...
Hasn't that been around for a while, or was it just announced a long time
ago? It's been
talked
about, but it's like in the last, I don't know, month or two, it actually went live, and... Yeah, so you can get online and pay to play video games with girls online.
And that
apparently the crushes themselves have incentives to basically at the end of your gameplay session you tip them, and the money they make from playing is based on those tips. So whatever they creatively come up with. Well, they're playing.
I should get my wife on that thing. She can make some money.
Shit.
Let's just lend ourselves to the fucking gamer stereotype. We have to pay girls online to play video games with us. Mm. That is...
Where's my
I take
money?
Issue with that.
All right, that might be an upcoming gaming cynic series.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm investigating this shit.
So, anyway, we'll end on that creepy note. So... Good to have the podcast crew back this week, and we're going to return next week, and we'll see everybody on Wednesday. Later.
Peace.
Good night.